Acts chapter 27 and verse 21. Acts 27, verse 21. The Bible says, "But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me, and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss." Let's go and read verse down through 25. "And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me." Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for having a copy of the Word of God that we can read and study and grow from it and be instructed from it, be corrected by it. Lord, we even cleaned up by it. Lord, you told your disciples that they would be made clean by the words which you've spoken unto them. And Lord, this book will clean us up. It really will. And Father, we pray that you'll help this church to have all of its ministries, dear Father, built upon the Word of God. And I pray, dear Lord, your will be done in our lives. Forgive us where we failed you. A lot of people going through a lot of things. I pray help will be given, Lord, through the message, through the truth that's being preached. And we'll thank you for it. Save sinners, stir the saints, dear God. Revive us again, Lord. We need it. We need it now. We need it bad. Lord, we pray you'll stir this young generation. Stir up these young people in our church, dear Father, to want to live for the Lord. Not to want to fit in and be popular and be, Lord, like everybody else. But, Lord, that they would desire to be holy. They desire, dear God, to set forth, dear God, and be Christ-like in their life. Father, I pray now your will to be done. Lord, there's needs, great, great needs in the service, Lord, tonight, and only you're able to meet them. We're trusting you to do so, for it's in Jesus' wonderful name we pray and for our sakes. Amen. All right, we notice in chapter 27 that the Apostle Paul is encountering probably the greatest storm in his life. And we noted in verse 21... the Bible says, but after long abstinence. And we pointed out this morning that the word abstinence there has the meaning of fasting. And so I believe it's identifying that Paul was involved in a fast here. He was fasting. He had food to eat, but he just wasn't eating. He was under a burden. He was under stress. He was in a situation that he needed desperately God to intervene in. And amen. And see, a lot of times I believe we don't get prayers answered because they're not urgent. You know, they're optional. Well, God, whether you answer or not, fine. Well, if you do, fine. If you don't, fine. Well, it wasn't fine. Paul needed help. Paul seen that not only he himself was in danger, but all of these lost people around him, all of those that were on board the ship, totaling 276, my friend, according to verse 37, we know how many was on board. And so he was concerned about their soul. He knew that the majority of them, if not all of them, were still unsaved. They were still unbelievers. And if they died in that storm, they would go to hell. And Paul, no doubt, was more burdened about that than he was for himself getting out of this situation. But he found and relates to us the key to our survival. And that is, I believe, a quiet time experience in the stormy time. And you and I need to learn that as God's people, to have a quiet time in stormy times. Now, we talked about this morning, stormy times are definite. Stormy times are certain. They will come. They are impartial. Stormy times does not matter who you are, how old you are, who you're kin to. None of your plans matters. Amen. Hard times will be a part of your life. Testings and trials will be a part of your life. I remember hearing Brother Mark Green, among other people, make the statement, faith worth trusting is a faith worth testing. Amen. If your faith can't be tested, then it should not be trusted. Your faith grows in the dark, just like film. It's developed in the dark. Amen. God uses dark times and stormy times many times to manifest His sufficiency in your life and mine. Yes, it was in a storm that Jesus showed His disciples that He was greater than the storm. When He stepped out on the bow of the ship and said, "Peace, be still," and the winds and the waves laid down like a little puppy dog at the Master's feet. You say, what did God do? He used the storm to show His sufficiency and show that His power is able. And so, but Paul is in a great storm, and he's showing us in verse 21 that he had been practicing a quiet time in a stormy time. Now that seems to be a paradox. That just seems to be complete opposites. A quiet time and in a stormy time. But that's true with God. You can have that. Well, anyway, this morning we looked at the realness of the quiet time. That was our first thought we looked at this morning, the realness of it. Number two, we talked about this morning, preached about the resorting to the quiet time. Paul, when he got in the storm, my friend, resorted to what he had dependence on. He resorted to what he knew would work. And that is a quiet time with God. Getting alone, getting away, and spending some time with the Lord. Amen. Now he resorted to that. And then we want to get to where we left off this morning. I want to get to it anyway. Number three, I want to talk about and preach a little bit about tonight the reception from the quiet time. Hallelujah. Amen. See, I know where I'm going. You don't. I can go ahead and say hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God, I can't wait. But I want to say the first thing that, and by the way, if you have a quiet time with God where you spend some time in prayer with God and read His Word, praise God, you'll be on the receiving end. It's not just a one-sided conversation. Praying is not a one-sided conversation. That's why a lot of people don't pray much. All the transpiring of a conversation is on their part. They never hear nothing back. Amen? But we know God is a God of communication. God speaks to His people. Do you believe that tonight? God speaks to His people. John chapter number 10, "My sheep hear My voice." Amen. "I know them and they know Me. They follow Me." Hey, man, you can identify who it is that's a child of God because God speaks to His people. God speaks to His people. How long has it been since God spoke to you? No, I'm not talking about audibly, you know, from the clouds. I'm talking about from His Word. I'm talking about through His Holy Spirit. Amen. Spoke to you. Amen. You said, "Preacher, explain that." I can't explain that, but if He ever says anything to you, you won't have to say, "Who said that?" Amen. Amen. His voice is distinct. Amen. His voice is unique. He's the Almighty. And when He speaks to you, praise God, you will know it. Amen. Praise God. I remember this little sideline illustration I thought of just now. I thought about back when I was growing up. Many times, even I'd be playing football or something, be in the game, or a lot of people be around. Everybody be screaming, hollering, carrying on. But my daddy could speak. My daddy could holler out or speak of my name, and out of all the noise and out of all the other people hollering and out of all the people screaming and yelling, I could hear my daddy. Amen. My ear was tuned to my daddy's voice. "My sheep hear My voice." Amen. Has God said anything to you in a while? Amen. If not, I'd get troubled. I'd get troubled about it. Amen? But I want to talk about the reception from the quiet time. Now, this first one I want to preach on tonight, that the first thing I notice in the text, we're right here, we're going to be right here. Just keep your Bibles open, your mind open, your eyes open, and it's feeling pretty good in here, I think. Amen? I'm not even sweating yet. Amen? Don't you think that's good? Praise God. But we're going to be right here in the text. We're going to be showing you what He received in the quiet time. You ready for number one? This is big. You ready for something big? I ain't big, but what I'm about to give you is big. You ready? First thing. Now, you may not appreciate it till you get in a storm. What I'm about to give you right here, Brother Frank, it won't mean much unless you've been in a storm, not knowing which way to go, not knowing which ends up. My friend, not knowing if you're ever going to live through it, survive through it. Paul was in that. Here's the first thing I want you to notice. Look, if you will, in verse 23. The first thing that he received, amen, in this quiet time, in the stormy time, first of all, the Bible said, "For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve." The first thing, Brother Brian, that he received in and from the quiet time was companionship. Not from the fellow prisoners, not from the master of the ship, but from the master. Amen. He said, "I want you, everybody, to know that I did." And it was after the long absence, he's telling this. He said, "I want you to know they stood by me this night. I want you to know I had companionship tonight in the stormy time, in the difficult time, in the dangerous time." He said, "I want you to know that I had and experienced companionship." Now, if you're taking notes, let me give you, as Brother Brian said the other night, a few, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 things about that. Amen. That was kind of funny, wasn't it? That's called a chip off the old block, for sure. But just keep that in mind. The first thing he received was companionship. And I got to looking at it even this morning, and I thought, man, I see that. The first thing that stuck out to me, and I can't hardly preach this without having a spell. If I have a spell, y'all just look over it. Amen. The first thing that I noticed about this companionship, number one, was the place of this companionship. Look at verse number 23. Still got your Bibles open? Amen. Look at the second word. Say it with me. There. I'm talking about the place of this companionship. "For there stood by me this night." Well, that's not important unless you get to look at where the "there" was. The "there" was where Paul was. I'm glad my companion, amen, is the one that is able to come through the storm. He don't need a GPS system. He don't need a satellite. He don't need Duracell batteries and a flashlight. He don't need a spotlight. He don't need, my friend, the light of the sun or the moon or the stars to get guidance and get direction as to where his child is at. I'll tell you how he finds you. Are you praying? If you're praying, God knows where you're at. Amen. Amen. "For there stood by me this night." Stood by who? The one that had the quiet time in the stormy time. Amen. "For there, the place of companionship." Well, listen, when you get in a valley, that's where you need God to show up. When you get in a battle, that's where you need God to show up. That's the "there" that you need God to show up. Amen. Hallelujah. God specializes in showing up at the right place, at the right time. And I believe with all of my heart, Brother McCarker, that the reason that verse number 20... amen. Let me look at this one. I'm preaching out of this one. Verse 23. The reason verse 23 could be stated is because of verse 21 was stated. Paul had spent the time in fasting and prayer, had spent the time in calling upon God. But now he's testifying in verse 23... about the companion that is faithful to show up in the greatest time of need. What do you think David wrote in Psalm 46:1? That the Lord is our refuge, a very present help in the time of trouble. So we notice that the "there" was in the midst of the worst storm in Paul's life. Amen. He'll show up in your life, just don't give up. Amen. The place of this companionship. Number two, I want to notice not only about the place of this companionship, I saw this morning too, that is the position of this companionship. Y'all see it, don't you? For there, come on now, stood by me. Paul was careful under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to pin down the position of his companionship, and that was by me. Stood by me. I started at another point there. I don't have it down, but I started at the posture of this companion stood. He wasn't fell over from the storm. He wasn't wearied from the winds. He wasn't needing to sit down. He wasn't needing a pillow. He wasn't needing to lay down. Paul made a careful note to tell that he was standing. Letting him know, I am not being conquered by the storm. I am in control of the storm. I am standing. I like that. Meant something when Jesus stood. He stood up to receive Stephen when Stephen was coming in into the gates. But anyway, the position, he stood by me. Amen. I like that, don't you? Now, I don't have this one down, but I did see another one just now. The Bible said he stood by me. Could we point out another one? Possibly we could add this. I will when I get home. The personal aspect of this companionship. He stood by me. Amen. Sometimes we want to put a we in there. He stood by we. He stood by us. He stood by them. He stood by they. But that won't mean much to you and your storm. You need God that is personal to stand by you. Paul said he stood by me. And number three or four, whatever it is, the presence of this companionship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. He said, I want you to know that I had a visitation from heaven. In hard times, difficult times, dark times, questionable times, I want you to know God visited with my soul. Amen. There was the presence of it. Well, I want to tell you, you can't improve on the presence of God. You can't improve on the presence of God. And our Bible, friend, is full of examples where God showed up in people's drastic situations. Amen. That's right. I mean, when things looked bleak, buddy, God showed up. When somebody would be seeking His face, He would show up. Hey, I'm going to tell you, God responds to prayer. Amen. There's the presence of this companionship. And could I mention this? The Lord showed me this week. This is important. Paul had been praying for days. Paul had been fasting for days. Let me give you this. Verse 19, we know that it identifies the third day of the storm. We know, according to verse number 20, he uses the term many days. Are you listening? Verse 27, it talks about the 14th night. Verse 33 talks about the 14th day. Here's the point I'm talking about the presence. Here's the point I want to make. Paul had been fasting and praying for at least 14 days, but God did not show up on the first day. Nor the third. It was at this particular day. We don't know at what particular day it was. We just know it wasn't the first one. There'll be times that you're going to pray and God may not show up. There's going to be times that you'll fast and God may not show up. But I promise you from the Bible that if you will keep praying, ask and keep asking, seek and keep seeking, knock and keep knocking, there'll be a time, there'll be a place, there'll be a there, somewhere that God is going to step in to your storm and He'll say, there, here I am. And you're going to look around in your prayer life and say, well, look who's here. Well, look who's here. Amen. Hallelujah. Boy, I like that. But some of you may be praying about an object. You may be praying about something. And you say, preacher, God hadn't manifested Himself. God's presence hadn't really come in on the scene. Hey, don't give up. Keep praying. Keep praying. Keep praying. Somewhere along the way, God will say it's time for the dare. And He'll step on the scene. No doubt when Paul had this wonderful heavenly visitation from God, I bet Paul would have said, you know what, I'm glad I didn't quit praying. I'm glad I didn't give in to the clouds and to the storm. I'm glad I didn't look at the winds and the waves and listen to the master of the ship. And I'm glad I didn't listen to other prisoners. I'm glad I kept praying. I'm glad I had a personal confidence in prayer that it works. Amen. And he kept praying. And one day after a while, the only man, listen, hey, the only man owns the ship praying was Paul. Amen. Not too many people praying in this world. A lot of people are going through storms, but there are not too many people praying. Amen. Not even too many people in church praying. We want the presence. Oh, we'd love to have a visitation from God to step into our situation and say, here it is. I'm here to fix it. We'd love to have that. But verse 23 is in response to verse 21. Well, let me hurry up. I want to deal with some other things. I'm going to sing to you in a minute. You say, oh, God, help, this heat's done got to his head. Not only the presence, and I want to ask you tonight, what's got your focus? What's got your attention, the problem or the person? Hey, man. When God showed up with Paul there on the ship in the dark time, Brother Randy, He wasn't talking about and wasn't noticing the winds and the difficulties and the threats. You can't notice those things, Brother Silas, when he shows up. You say, you got another illustration? What about Peter? When Peter was walking on the water, he did fine. When he noticed Jesus, looking at Jesus, watching Jesus, his focus was on Jesus. Guess what? He was walking on the waves. Amen. What was over his head was under his feet because he had his eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. But when he got his eyes off of the Lord, amen, he began to notice the waves and he began to hear the winds. Guess what happened? He began to sink. I'm talking about Peter. I wonder how many in this building tonight. You're more preoccupied with the problems you have than the potential you have. Paul, why are you praying? Can't you hear the wind? Can't you see how dark it is? Paul, why are you praying? Because in prayer, I possess a potential. I possess a potential of reaching heaven and getting help from God. Amen. Hey, if you don't pray, you're sure to lose. I can tell you one thing that don't work. Prayerlessness don't work. I can tell you that. There's several times I've prayed and God seemingly hadn't heard. I didn't get an answer and God hadn't stepped into my situation yet. Now, I want to tell you, bless His holy name, glory to God. I tell you, prayerlessness does not work. You will never get help from God in prayerlessness. The Bible says you have not because you ask not. Go ahead. Spend your time not praying. Spend your time ignoring God. Go ahead and spend your time pouting instead of praying. Focusing on the problem instead of God. And see if you get any better. No, it'll get worse. Why don't you do what is potentially going to work? Somewhere down the road, somewhere down the way, my friend, God is going to step into your situation. There is the presence. And then listen to this. Talking about that companionship. He received companionship. Listen, I'm talking about God visited a man in his quiet time. I don't know if we're getting that or not. Matthew chapter number 5, we're encouraged to go into the closet to pray and shut the door. Why? The Bible said the Father, which is in secret. Why in the world would I want to have a quiet time, pull away from phones and computers and business and burdens and battles? And why would I want to do that, preacher? I tell you why. God says the Father is in secret. Well, I'm feeding on this anyhow. Here's another one. Here's you something else. The present of this companionship. For there stood by me this night. Amen. Paul wasn't talking about something that happened 20 years ago. Paul wasn't talking about something that happened 2 months earlier. He wasn't talking about something prospective in the future. He was talking about right then, this night, God helped him.
Amen.
Some of you can't wait 10 years from now. Some of you can't wait 10 months from now. Some of you can't wait 10 weeks from now and might not even be able to wait 10 days from now. You need a visitation from God this night. And God knows how urgent your need is by how urgent your praying is. Your prayers don't mean nothing to you. They won't mean nothing to God.
Amen.
All right, let's go on. Y'all ready? I like this. Might get a little quiet right here on this point. Y'all ready for it? I know. I'm tired of looking at you. Another thing about that companionship, Brother Rob, that I'd like to point out, that Paul points out, Paul said he received this in his quiet time. He received companionship, and then I've just been breaking it down. Here's another thing he received about this companionship, and that is the possession of this companionship. Y'all ready? There won't be much glory on this point, I can just about tell you. Paul said, for there stood by me this night. And we can shout about that. Well, glory to God, hallelujah. But Paul went on to say, for there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am.
Amen.
Can I ask you something tonight? Can I ask you something tonight? What's more important? His companionship or his ownership? Not too many people in here that I could go around and ask you tonight, would you want companionship from the Comforter? Would you want companionship from the Lord, from the high courts of heaven? Everybody would say, yes, preacher, I need it. I want it. I want it now. I want it bad. Right. But what about his ownership? You want that? Are you able to say, really, genuinely in your heart, whose I am? I belong to him. He owns me. Amen. You know what the quiet time does? The quiet time gets your focus on who owns you. You know why? Hey, man. You know why you don't want to pray much? You're wanting to run your show. You're wanting to paddle your own boat. You're wanting to be your own thing. You're wanting to chart your own course. Yeah, man, you don't want God telling you nothing. You don't want God to say, hey, you're my servant. I'm the master. I've purchased you. You don't want that. You don't want that. A lot of people want his salvation. They want his sacrifice. They're glad he paid the redemption price. But you know what went along with that purchase? Hey, friend, listen, come on. He didn't just purchase my salvation. Hey, man, he purchased me.
Amen.
Can you get that? Read it. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 and 20, and chapter 7, verse 23. Read it, my friend. Talk to him about being purchased. Amen. Purchased. We're bought with a price. Therefore, be ye not servants of men. He didn't just buy, listen, Brother Silas, he didn't just pay for my sin debt. He didn't just buy me a ticket to glory. He bought me. I tell you what we've done. We've got a religious world, brother, that's put salvation over yonder and the sinner over here. Amen, preacher. I'm saved. See it over yonder? I prayed a dime store prayer back yonder when I was little, and I don't know if I'm in it or not. Who cares? I'm saved. Mama said so. But I'm over here, man. I'm doing my own thing. I'm living the way I want to live. I listen to what I want to listen to. I dress the way I want to dress. I go where I want to go. I'm doing my own thing. But guess what? When I draw my last breath, preacher, guess what? I'm going to be able to grab this. It's going to take me to glory. Show me that in the Bible and I'll eat it. Show me that concept in the Bible. Show it to me. God, when He said, when He died, Jesus died on the cross, shed His blood and to purchase, yes, your redemption. But I want to tell you, He didn't just pay your sin debt. He also, my friend, paid the future redemption debt of your body. Amen. Guess what gets to go to heaven? Can I tell you, let you in on something, Brother David? All of me gets to go to heaven. Y'all ain't getting that. I can tell by looking at you. I'm going to slow down here. The heat's getting to you already. All of me is going to heaven. My soul and spirit, nobody will question that. But if I were to die and they take and put my body up there in the ground somewhere, it ain't staying there. Paul prayed to, that your whole body, soul, and spirit be preserved blameless. You know what a lot of people's done today? And you can tell by the way people dresses. You can tell by the way people acts. You can tell by what they listen to. You can tell by where they go and what they do. They can, they've separated salvation from their body. My spirit's saved. God looks on the heart. My spirit's saved and it don't matter about my body. Again, and I'm not even hungry. Show me that in the Bible and I'll eat it. For every one verse that you might could twist and even show that it doesn't matter how your body is, what no, it doesn't matter about the body, I could show you 10 verses the contrary. And I don't know if y'all, some of you don't remember, I'm sure, because you're new, but I preached a whole series of messages a few years ago about the body. Yeah, what about that verse in 1 Corinthians? What about that verse in 1 Corinthians that I quoted? I quoted verse 19? Was that the verse? I've lost my tag here. Listen to this. Right, I'm going to read it. I want y'all to know that I'm in the book. I want you to see something there. 1 Corinthians 6. Verse 19, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God? Ye are not your own. Ye have been bought with a price. Look at this. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which is God's. I get in more trouble preaching about the sanctification of the body than I do in any other thing. I can preach on tithing. Not too many people gets mad. I can preach on, my friend, all kinds of purity. I can preach on all kinds of holiness and all kinds of godliness. And nobody says a word. But when I start dealing with the purity of the body and the holiness of our practice, buddy, people gets the poochy lip and they get all bent out of shape. And I want to ask why. Because the same Savior that purchased my soul purchased my body. My body will one day be saved. It is not saved now, and I'm reminded daily of that, but it one day will be.
Amen.
Amen. Woo! I told you it wouldn't be much glory on that one. Verse 11, I seen this morning. Verse number 11. Paul speaks about the owner of the ship. Y'all see that? Look at verse 11 of Acts 27. Talks about the owner of the ship. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship. But then in verse number 23, we don't have the reference to the owner of the ship. We have the reference to the owner of the saint. You know what the owner of the ship was doing when the storm came? Hey, come here. Y'all enjoying this too, I can tell. You know what the owner of the ship was doing when the storm came? Throw it overboard. Get rid of the tackling. The things necessary to operate this boat. Throw it overboard. Widen the ship. Throw the cargo over. That's what the owner of the ship thinks. When you get in a storm, quit. Quit praying. Quit. Throw things over. Throw your convictions out the window. Throw separation out the window. Become carnal, fleshly, and worldly. Throw it out the window. But I'm not interested in the owner of the ship. I'm interested in the owner of the saint. Because see, the ship may go down, but the one that owns the saint is not going to discard you and throw you overboard. Amen. But there is the possession. There's a lot of things I could say about that. But last thing I'd like to mention about the companionship. If y'all stay with me here just a minute, we might get in some glory. Lord, help us, we need it. Amen. But there is the practice of this companionship. The practice. You mean to tell me, preacher, that companionship produces a practice, influences a practice in my life? Oh yeah, I didn't finish that verse. For there stood by me the angel of God, whose I am, and here comes the practice, and whom I serve.
Amen.
Oh, preacher, you could have preached all night! You could have preached all night! Preach till you pass out! And not mention service, preacher, not mention works. Preacher, I want to go to heaven, but I don't want to do nothing. Faith without works is dead being alone. Amen. We shout all day about Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But that's not all the chapter. There is a verse 10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We want His companionship, but we don't want to serve Him. We want Him to come into our storm, but we don't want to serve Him. Something's wrong with that. Well, amen. Storms come in the life of those that even serve God. All right, let's move on. Y'all ready to move on? I'm ready to move on. So not only did he receive, number one, what was it? Companionship. Stay with me now. The second thing he received is communication. Look at it. Chapter 27, you still got your Bible open?
Amen.
Well, praise God. Five of you. It's good. We're a good average. Look in verse... Look at verse 24. We just plowed through verse 23, dissected it, pointed out several things. I don't know how many points we had there. It's 5, 6, 4, 3, 4, 5, 6. But look at verse 24, the very first word. Look at it. What does it say? Saying, for there stood by me the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. And look what it said. Saying. In other words, he didn't show up in my life to be just my companion. He showed up to tell me something.
Amen.
He showed up to speak to me. Oh, I love His presence, Brother Rob. I love for Him to show up in my life. I love that. But I tell you what I love. I love for when He shows up in my life, He begins to talk to me. If He's not talking to you, I tell you what will be talking to you, the storm. The storm will be talking to you. You're not going to make it. It's dark. You're going down. Nobody cares. God don't care about you. The storm will talk to you. That's why Paul stilled away in a quiet time. It's where he could quit hearing the storm and hear the Master. Here it is. I'm telling you, this fed me as much as anything I've got a hold of in a long time. And if it ain't feeding you, just hang on. I'll be done with it after a while. For there stood by me this night the angel of God whose I am and whom I serve, saying. So what he received in the quiet time? Communication. God said something to him. How often do you hear somebody stand up in a service and say, God give me this in quiet time. God said this to me in my devotions. How often? It is scarce. You very seldom ever hear it. And I want to tell you, I don't believe it's because God's not saying nothing. I believe it's because people are not having no quiet time. They're not spending no time with God. They hit the floor. They're on a dead run. They come home. They pass out because they're wore out. And no time for God. And then they wonder why their joy is gone. They wonder why they're drying up on the stalk. They wonder why they don't get nothing out of preaching. They wonder why they don't get nothing out of singing. They wonder why they don't get nothing out of Sunday school. I tell you why. If you don't pray to God, God's not going to say nothing to you. Does that not make good sense? God saying something to me is the results of me saying something to God. Prayers that go up has God speaking as a response. All right, so he received a communication. Amen. Well, I like that. Even in the storm, Paul had a reception of God's word and of God's voice. Well, I like that, don't you? You said, preacher, that storm is raging in my life. I can't hear him. If he speaks, you'll know it. Because he's out, like I said earlier, he's got that distinct and unique voice. And if you're saved and you're his, you're hooked up with that voice as a shepherd does a sheep. All right. So not only did he receive communication or companionship, he received communication. But this one right here about bless me to death. He received consolation. He received in the quiet time, Brother Matt, what was the first thing God said to him? Fear not. Oh, what a calm came through the quiet time. Around him there was nothing calm. Around him, Brother Stallard, there was nobody calm. But when God showed up, he spoke peace to Paul's heart. And evidently Paul had some trouble, Miss Debbie, because God said, fear not. Evidently, he saw Paul kind of upset. He might have saw Paul kind of disturbed a little bit. And therefore, he saw, before I say anything else to you, Paul, I need to get you calm. Before I can say anything about you, before I can say anything about those that's with you, before I can say anything about your destiny, I've got to get you still. I've got to get you calm. Be still and know that I am God. You know why a lot of times we don't hear from heaven is because we're in such a frenzy. We're in such, our whole life is in such a frenzy. We don't hear nothing. God knows for His voice, His word. Boy, this is good stuff. I'm telling you, it's fed my soul. For God to be able to speak to us, He's got to get us calm. Isn't that amazing that the first thing that God endeavored to do with Paul was to calm him down and get him to where he could talk to him? I mentioned this morning, and I meant it. This right here has done more to refresh my soul and my spirit than anything I've got a hold of in a long time. Amen. I'm telling you, it has. Well, glory to God. He received a calmness. He received consolation, either or of those words you can use. I like this. I like this. This is really good. Fear not, Paul. And keep in mind, it was so dark, they couldn't see the sun, the moon, the stars. And hadn't been for many days. You know what happens if you're not careful when it gets dark like that? You resort to feelings. And you resort to living by feelings. Well, why didn't you go to church? Well, I didn't feel like it. Why are you not praying? Well, I don't really feel much like praying. Have you read your Bible this week? Well, no. Well, why? Well, I didn't really feel like it. Is that right? Well, did you eat this week? Well, yeah. Did you feel like it? Well, I didn't pay no attention. I was hungry, I ate. You're going to do what you want to do. You listening? But even the Apostle Paul experienced somewhat in soul, somewhat in spirit, some turbulence, some fear. And I want to tell you something. Paul was human. We can put Paul up yonder on a pedestal, but Paul was human. And Paul, even in a storm, had a measure of fear. That's why Jesus said to him, heaven said to him, "Fear not, Paul." Paul, it's dark, but I want you to know I am talking to you. Boy, isn't it amazing? I feel like shouting right now over just the fact that God knows me by name. And listen, when He speaks to me, I don't have to look around and say,
"Amen."
You talking to me? I've tried to make contact with some people in the church a lot of times, sitting up here, and they'll look at me looking straight at me, and I'm looking straight at them and asking maybe if they got a song or whatever, and they look at me like, and I'll even say like, "Listen." And then after that nod and all of that, they'll turn around and see if maybe some of that eyesight and signal's going on by. That's happened to you, Brother Craddock, remember? I know that ain't but four rows right there. Maybe if I throw a songbook hit him, he might understand that. But but God, listen, God makes it so clear, Brother Rob. You don't have to look around and say, "Are you talking to them? Who you talking to?" He says, "Fear not, Paul." Let me move on. I've got to hurry. Hey, man, this is good. He received. I'm talking about receiving. What did he receive in the quiet time? He received companionship. He received communication. He received a consolation or calmness. Hey, I'm going to tell you what the quiet time does, and this ministered to me. God said it to my heart this week, and it ministered to my soul. The quiet time does not quieten down the winds a lot of time. The quiet time, what do you think it's called? Quiet time. It's because many times, Miss Mary, when we come into God's presence, we're everything but quiet. And God, the quiet time many times is not to deal with my storm around me, but to deal with the storm that is within me. Folks, can I let you in on a big secret? You can handle the storms around you if you don't have no storm in you.
Amen. That's good. Right.
The sea can never sink a ship until the sea gets in the ship. The ship can be in the sea, and my friend, everything be fine. In fact, that's normal. But when the sea starts getting in the ship, that's not normal. In fact, that's fatal. Right here in this congregation tonight. And not just here in this congregation, but people that's going to be listening to this CD and whatnot around different places. No telling what turbulence is going on around you. If I were to ask for a report, amen, there's no telling what reports we could hear of storms that's going around you. You could talk about maybe possibly marital storms. You could talk about moral storms. You could talk about money storms. You could talk about all kinds of storms around you. But I want to ask you, is it in you? I feel like we're on something right here. I don't know how much further we're going to go, but I want you to get this. John 14, verse 1, Brother Frankie, Jesus had just told the latter part of chapter 13 of John, told the disciples, "I'm leaving you." He'd been with them almost 3.5 years, been their best friend, fed them when they was hungry, healed them when they were sick, led them when they didn't know where to go. Hey, man, he was the best. And now he's telling them, "I'm leaving. The purpose I came into this world was to go to a cross and die, and I'm leaving." You know what happened to them? Hearts got troubled. And Jesus, listen, Brother Frank, listen to this. I want y'all to get this. They didn't tell Jesus, "Our heart is troubled." Jesus knew it. And Jesus knew that in that shape they would be no good to Him. Because see, when He goes away, He was going to send the Comforter back. He was going to indwell them men and those people, and they were going to be the one that would carry on the work of God. And if they were discouraged and aggravated and agitated, my friend, and have a troubled heart, Jesus knew they would be no good to Him. So you know what He did? You know what He did first thing? Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So what was He doing? I tell you what He was doing. I tell you what He was doing. He was calming them down. Let not. Let is a word of permission. If you're troubled in heart tonight, listen, now I'm not belittling and make light of your troubles, but if you're troubled in heart tonight, you have let it happen. Let not your heart be troubled. Let means to give permission to. Let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be agitated. And you know what He, listen, you know what He went as a counter to that trouble? If you believe. You know why we're not, listen, you know why we're troubled? Do I need to answer it? We have a faith problem. We have a belief problem. Amen. That's why right here in our text, Paul said, I want you to know, brethren, be of good cheer, for I believe God. Let me deal with something else quickly. Boy, I like this. I hope y'all got that. I really believe God sent that right there tonight. Put a little special touch on it, a little special emphasis right there. God is wanting to calm some of you down. Your storm's going to kill you. It's going to kill you spiritually. It's going to kill your marriage. Listen, I'm not rattling idle words. Your storm's going to kill you if you don't get a hold of God, get in a quiet place, get your life refocused, get your life refired, get right with God, get back in the house of God, get back in the Word of God, find out what God's got for your life, get with it, get refocused, get to serving Him. If not, your storm is going to kill you. Your storm is going to make you bitter if you don't get a hold of it and make some right choices and let your storm start driving you to long abstinence of prayer and spending some time with God. Amen. I could mention right now, I could tell you, listen, sometimes I get too personal, but I could give you an example right now of a situation that I know of personally where a storm is hitting a home. A storm is hitting a home. Instead of it driving them into the quiet place to pray and seek God's face, they're running, they're pulling away from the things of God. They're becoming unfaithful to the house of God. And with that, I'm sure, not reading the Word of God, not spending time in prayer, and all of those things. And it's going into the children. Children that once thrived on going to church now says, I don't want to go. Well, why do you not want to go? You need to go. And then we'll mention one of the parents. Well, they don't want to go. They don't go. They don't have to go. I don't have to go. Hey, Mom, Dad, I want to tell you something, friend. You may try your best to keep your spirituality to yourself, but you can't. It's going to get in your family. It's going to get in your mate. It's going to get in your children. Amen. Good or bad? Amen. Good or bad, it's going to get in your family. Amen. Stay with it. Don't give up. Storms are not permanent. What did He receive? He received a consolation or a calm. I was getting ready this evening, the house, by myself. And I didn't have a song book, but I had a song. And I just started going through the house. Because I knew what I was planning on preaching tonight. If the Lord helped me to preach it. I went through the house and I just got to singing these songs right here. I just get bits and pieces of these songs. Are you weary? Are you heavy-hearted? This is what Paul was doing in the quiet place. Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Are you grieving over joys departed? Tell it to Jesus alone. Tell it to Jesus. That's why we have a quiet time. Tell it to Jesus. Hey, listen. He is a friend that's well known. You have no other such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus alone. Glory to God. Amen. What about this song right here? I'd like to sing another verse to that, but I ain't got time. I don't know if y'all can tolerate it. Listen to this right here. If I can get it going here. I must tell Jesus all of my trials. Listen, I think Paul probably fell over this. I cannot bear these, pointing to the winds and the waves, these burdens alone. In my distress, He, the one who stood by me this night, the one that owns me, the one I'm serving, in my distress, He kindly will help me. He ever loves and cares for His own. I could just hear Paul in the secret place. He said, you're dreaming. Well, that's all right. I'm getting blessed by it. I could just hear Paul down there in the darkness and down there, my friend, in that quiet place where the storms are raging, going to the chorus. I must tell Jesus. I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear these burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus. Jesus, C-A-N, can help me. I like this. Jesus alone. Amen. Paul spent the time in prayer. Paul spent the time in long abstinence. Paul spent the time of sacrificing, spending time with God, telling it to Jesus, bearing the burdens for the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. God said to him, "Fear not, Paul." But Paul was able to step back out after that quiet time and said to the men, "Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God." Probably said this right here. Far away in the depths of my spirit tonight rose a melody sweeter than song. In celestial light strains it unceasingly falls o'er my soul like an infinite calm. Peace, peace. Oh, Paul, tell us about it. Wonderful peace. Where'd it come from? Coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray. In fathomless billows of love. I say glory to God. What did He receive? A calm. Here's something else He received. I'm just going to hit this one and I'll be done. He received a confirmation. He received a confirmation. Look at it. I'll be done. Look at verse 24. Fear not, Paul. Thou must be brought before Caesar. Notice that. Thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. You know what's good to get and receive in the quiet time? A confirmation. See, Paul, God told Paul a few chapters back that you're going to Rome. Paul, you're going to Rome. I've got a purpose. I've got a plan. You're going somewhere. I'm taking you somewhere, Paul. Paul gets in the quiet time. Storms are raging. Looked like the old ship. He even said it the first part. He said, you should have... Look at it. Let me read it to you right here. Verse 10. And he said unto them, Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with much hurt and much damage, not only of the lading of the ship, but also of our lives. Paul, when this storm started, when he perceived what was going to happen and when the storm started raging, Paul thought, hey, some of us are going to die in this situation. We're going to lose everything. We're going under. We're going to die. But guess what God said to him in the quiet place? Hey, Paul! Remember that promise? Thou must stand before Caesar. Thou must stand before Caesar, Paul! And not only that, Paul, I'm going to give you every one of these men. I'm going to turn your storm into a soul-winning opportunity. I'm going to turn your storm into a soul-winning opportunity, Paul. You're going to win every one of them. But if he had been pouting, he wouldn't have won none of them. But he was a man of prayer. He had a quiet time in the stormy time. And he won 200 and, well, what was it? I told you, verse 37. 216 souls, 276 souls. Amen. Confirmation. Boy, God can calm you down. God can give you a word in the quiet place. And God, listen, can give you a confirmation to let you know. You know why Peter... Amen. You know why Peter didn't worry too much when he was in prison in Acts 12? Listen, I'm right now done. I know y'all don't believe that, but I am. I'm right now done. I'm about to preach that. Listen, Acts 12, Peter was put in prison by Herod with every intention Herod was going to kill him. He'd already killed James. So Peter knew he meant business, Brother Matt. But guess what happened? He was in the prison, in the inner prison, fast asleep. God sent the angel down there, Miss Donna, to get him out and had to shake him to get him awake. I doubt that I would be asleep if the next day I knew I was leaving here. That I was probably going to be beheaded or something. I doubt I'd be asleep. I certainly wouldn't be fast asleep. But he was. You know why? I tell you why. He knew he wasn't going to die. Did you know that? How many knew that? 12 people. Some of you knew that. I'm not going to have time to read it all. But God gave Peter a promise in the latter part of chapter 21 of John that Peter, you're going to be old. And when you get old, there's going to be people going to take you where you wouldn't want to go. And you know, in other words, it guaranteed, Peter, you're going to get old. And he wasn't old in Acts 12. You can sleep on the confirmations of God. Amen. Let's all stand our feet. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for giving us a word and speaking to us and refreshing our heart. Lord, I wasn't discouraged when you gave me this message at all. But Lord, you sure refreshed and refired my heart. Lord, concerning the confidence and the practice of the quiet time. Lord, there's people in this building tonight, Lord, that I don't know if they've got a stormy time going on in their life. If they don't, they will have. It's going to be a part of our life. It's going to be a part. Not all the time, but there are going to be times it's going to happen. And Lord, we can either respond to it carnally or we'll respond to it spiritually. And dear Lord, Paul was the only one on board that was responding to the storm in a spiritual way. Everybody else was wanting to jump ship and throw things overboard and quit and give up in despair, hopelessness, and swim for it. But Paul was the one that was in the throne room praying. Lord, there's some people I believe in this building. God, if they don't get back, get right, get help, get back in that secret place and quiet time with You in the stormy times, their stormy time is going to take them under. Lord, I believe You sent this message. There's no doubt about it. You're sending it to us. You're sending it to us. Right on time. Lord, I don't know where people's living. I really don't. But I know if they're like me, they have discovered that spirituality is a battle. It's a maintenance. It's a responsibility. It's not easy. It's not automatic. It's not something quick. It's going to take effort and labor and prayer. And Lord, our Father, I pray that You'd help people, dear God, in this building today to respond spiritually. As I said, Lord, they're going to respond carnally, that is, resort to the flesh and go after the things of the flesh. Instead, we could respond spiritually. Stay with the church. Stay in the Word of God. Pray. Try to stay clean with God. Try to stay right with God. Try to stay faithful with the Lord. Father, help us, our God, in these days. Thank You for allowing this Acts 27 to be put in our Bible to feed us, encourage us, and help us. Lord, I preached from this chapter many times about the storms of life and staying with the ship and all of those things. But, Lord, I've never seen the importance and the emphasis of the quiet time that Paul spent with You that made such a complete difference to this entire situation. Lord, if somebody is not praying, they're straying. If we're not praying, we're playing. God, we need to get with it, stay with it, pray, pray, and pray.